This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hey folks, welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. If you're only just joining us here on Enterprise, I'm Rich Bradbury. Today I'm joined in the studio by
Arvind Branch
and Christine Wong.
We're asking you a question which we'll get to in just a moment, but we are talking about financial institutions have accelerated adopting digital services over the course of the pandemic. Have their strategies been effective? Are these services consumer friendly? And what should come next? Our question for you is, what platform do you use the most for banking services and why? Is it apps? Is it a website? Is it in person? Or is it something else? That's what we're discussing for the majority of the show today. However, we do have a little bit of a tidbit at the end of the show, and that is all about...
It's all about Disney Plus that has finally given us a launch date.
Yay! Mm-hmm. I remember a lot of people talking about when The Mandalorian was out and, you know, and how that was one of the must-see TV shows, and it was very difficult to watch, and you had to jump through a whole bunch of hoops and one thing or another. Now, friends, of course, have all seen it, and yet we haven't yet.
We haven't yet.
No.
Can't wait to.
I know, right? Mm. Yeah, it'd just be nice to find out how that thing goes. So then, Chris.
Hey.
What are we talking about then? And then why have you decided to do this today?
So this is based on an article that I found in The Star yesterday, just a bit of insight into what banks are doing to push their digital initiatives. So in line with this accelerated drive towards digital adoption, banks are investing in building new capabilities to be more productive. So for example, the CIMB Group has pivoted towards more targeted strategies, like in the case of the Touch and Go e-wallet, where CIMB saw like pretty healthy numbers in essential services and online transactions. So they were able to capture usage and demand and drive the Touch and Go e-wallet as a payment mode of choice. And since then, they've exceeded their growth targets in user and merchant acquisitions, while in the Philippines, they've grown their deposits by providing seamless and full access to their products as well.
Mm-hmm. And adding to that, the digitally active base of Alliance Bank Malaysia has almost doubled over the last 3 years due to its strong focus on introducing new digital solutions and improvements to its mobile apps and successful awareness campaigns. So Alliance Bank Malaysia said that they are opening 70% of their business accounts digitally. When talking about its Branch in a Tablet initiative that allows individuals to open a savings account and activate their ATM accounts online and get mobile banking access in under 15 minutes. So Alliance Bank also enables individuals to instantly open a savings account, apply for a credit card and personal loan from anywhere just using the same concept or the same platform. At the moment, almost 30% of trade transactions are performed on its Alliance Bank e-trade platform that allows business owners to access and monitor the accounts, as well as submit and check submission status of their trade financing applications on the go.
Mm-hmm. And also there's a Bank Islam as well, where digitalization is expected to enable the core infrastructure to support the six pillars of its sustainable plan. So a lot of their efforts will involve the enhancement or replacement of their core banking system and other legacy systems as well. Mm-hmm. This development of an IT blueprint phase two to align the implementation of technology, establishment of a robust platform for cybersecurity, security resilience, enhancement in terms of internal services, so things like video conferencing, virtual learning, town halls, webinars, a network line upgrade at their headquarters, a data center and business recovery sites to cater for increasing bandwidth, as well as a new division, which they want to call the Center for Digital Experience, that's going to focus on products that align with some of their objectives on the licensing framework for digital banks to address market gaps in the underserved and unserved segments as well.
And over at Standard Chartered Malaysia, they're adopting a cloud-first strategy that utilizes shared infrastructure to accelerate its digital transformation for all new software developments and major enhancements. Digital payments at Standard Chartered Malaysia have grown by 87% year-on-year, covering financial process exchange, direct debit, JohnPay, and Gyro. Standard Chartered Malaysia is exploring potential partnerships with startups, especially fintechs, which use technology to deliver financial services through software like online payments and mobile payment apps. OCBC Bank Malaysia will be leveraging digital onboarding to scale customer acquisitions and will play an active role in developing and promoting PayNet's retail payments platform to support the open payments ecosystem in Malaysia. And it's been investing heavily in its digital wealth proposition, leveraging on the expertise of OCBC Singapore and Bank of Singapore. Singapore. Digital wealth tools will also be introduced to customers of OCBC Bank Malaysia to allow them to manage their portfolio conveniently and securely, all within an app.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of a little rundown of some of the ways that banks are kind of going digital at the moment. But it really piqued my interest because I think with the financial sector, there's a lot of progress to be made. Mm. There's a lot of, you know, even some banks before the pandemic, you know, their websites were not very accessible or very easy to navigate, for example, issues with like apps and you know, not really having the right, like not knowing to find some services on apps and stuff like that as well. And it got me thinking about, you know, how has the pandemic been able to push these institutions to further, you know, enhance the digital services?
I mean, I remember doing an interview fairly recently with a chap, and he was telling me that one of the slowest movers to digitalization are the banking institutions. Yeah. And it's not because they don't want to do it. You know, the idea of them wanting to do it is there. But it's the way in which the banks were set up and the back end of the stuff that's making it difficult. A lot of their systems are stored on PCs and whatever that use particularly old software. And to upgrade that software is, firstly, it's expensive and it's time-consuming. Mm. And we're now in a society where it's like, I want my details and stuff now.
Yeah.
Yep.
So if you suddenly say, we need to go offline for like a day or 2 days whilst we upgrade our systems, everybody's like, well, what am I supposed to do about getting money for the day? And it makes a huge, huge headache for these institutions.
Mm-hmm. They also have to worry about security.
Yeah.
Because the more access points you give people, that's potentially a new access point for someone to find a way to compromise the banks or compromise people's accounts and stuff. So that's also a huge, huge factor that they have to take into account, right? Mm. I'm actually surprised looking at the poll that 61% of people have voted for the app, because I said before we went on the show that I use the website most of the time. Mm. It's just more useful for me to sort of, you know, and on the desktop you can have like your accounts and then you can sort of like jot down what you're doing and stuff. The app for me doesn't work as much as desktop banking platforms.
Mm, that's fair enough. I think for me, I don't really, at the moment in my life, I don't really have a lot of things that require me to use a website. For me, it's sort of in order of increasing, I guess, importance or kind of worry or concern. So I use the app for most things. If I feel like I need to, let's say, download an e-statement as a PDF or whatever, then I go to the website. If I'm showing up at a bank in person, it's something's up.
Yeah, exactly that. I was just thinking that, you know, the only time I'm using the app the vast majority of the time, because it is transferring from here to there, checking my balance, usual kind of stuff.
Yep.
And it's only fairly recently that I've had to actually log into my banking website to download some PDFs and forward them off to somebody else to show the income and expenditure and one thing or another. But yeah, the last time I was in the bank was to complain that there was a problem with my account.
Like physically there.
Physically there, yeah. And I was not a happy person at the time, you know. And I don't feel the need to go into a bank anymore. Before, it was when I was transferring money back home, it was a difficult process. It was I had to go to the bank. I had to present numerous documents and passports and one thing or another. Thankfully, my bank then moved all of that online, and it's literally something I can do from the app. Click, 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 done. The convenience of that outweighs the other issues for me.
Here's another question. When's the last time you guys were at like an ATM machine?
Funny you say that. Very recently.
Yeah.
Just over the weekend. And the only reason I was at the ATM was because I was supposed to do a parking fee. The ironic thing was, it was supposed to be cashless parking, yet the cashless part of the parking part was not working. So I had to use cash. So I had to go to the ATM to get cash out.
For me, also relatively recently, just because there are, like Rich said, a lot of places that still, for some reason, do not support cashless payments in some way, shape, or form, whether it be for parking or even in store. So I just like to have some on me just in case.
For me, it has to be at least 4 months ago.
Oh, really?
At least for... Yeah. It could be longer, but I'm thinking like at a minimum 4 months ago. And it's weird because everything else has gone cashless through the app or through desktop.
Yeah.
Okay, on that note, we're going to take a short break while you guys think about what platform do you use the most of your banking services and why. Let us know. We have a poll running over on Twitter, of course, at BFM Radio, and on Insta, at BFM Radio as well. And get in touch via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. A short break with Little Willie John with Fever here on Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
bluff-free medium? BFM 89.9.
Hey folks, welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury with
Arvind Yuvraj
and Christine Wong.
If you're only just joining us, we've been talking about financial institutions and how they've accelerated adopting digital services over the course of the pandemic. Have their strategies been effective? Are these services consumer friendly? And what should come next? A bit of a rundown from Alliance Bank and from OCBC and from Bank Islam and all of them. We've had a bit of a mention. Mm-hmm. And that's led us to the question of what platform do you use the most for banking services and why? Do you use an app? Do you use a website? Is it in person or something else? And to let us know about that. And the numbers are so far.
The numbers are at 61% for app, 36% for website, small 2.4% for in person, and nothing for something else. A few messages on Twitter. Yee says app because of biometric unlock for faster login, and because of two-factor authentication, you'll need your phone to authorize transactions done on the web. Using the app makes it easier since it's already on your hand. Gupreet Singh says, at your fingertips, literally.
On Instagram, we don't have a poll. We just have an open-ended question at the moment. So Josephine Yap says that she uses the mobile app, easy to use and can be done there and then. PDX3156 says, apps for sure. Haven't been to a branch in over a month, and that was just to bank in some checks. And A Dumpling says, websites, more features, especially for generating e-statements. Mm.
The only problem I've had recently is that when I've been trying to get the TAC or the OTP, depending on which bank you're with, mm-hmm. I've been having massive delays with them. So, you click the button, it's supposed to send it through, and then it's valid for a minute or whatever.
I feel like that's your phone signal more than the...
I know, but that's what I thought. I thought, is it my phone signal? So I tried that, and I walked outside, and I'm disconnecting my phone, and I'm like... Why am I not getting it through? Mm. I tweeted about it. No response from any of the banks. Uh-oh. No response from any of the phone companies. I'm like, somebody put their hand up and say, it's our fault, please.
They're kind of changing that now with the secure verification stuff. Right?
I love that.
Yeah, I love that. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's my little moan out of the way for today. However, we thought we'd speak to some people who knew a little bit more about this. So on the phone, we've got, first up, we have Vincent Fong, the Chief Editor and Country Manager for FinTech News Malaysia. Chris.
Hi, Vincent. Thanks for staying on the line with us. So first of all, do you think that banks are digitalizing fast enough, and why or why not?
And there are varying degrees of digitalization across banks. Some are more successful than others. What we observe is that the tier one banks are generally more likely to roll out market first digital services compared to the tier two banks. And that's probably by design of having much larger budgets to play around with. But we shouldn't really be so focused on the number of new digital channels or services that they roll out. But instead, we should focus on whether or not the UI and UX is well designed or whether the service is reliable. Because we've seen some banks having much more downtime than others, and that's really not ideal. But moving forward, we definitely see banks ramping up their digital propositions. With Bank Negara Malaysia looking to issue 5 new digital banking licenses, that could potentially see some prominent and interesting players entering this space to shake things up.
Mm-hmm. And what are the most common banking services that are done digitally?
Certainly, payments is the most obvious example that comes to mind. If you look at internet banking, mobile banking, and even QR payments, you can see that unilaterally in 2020, the numbers have gone up. The significant increase is thanks in part to the pandemic and also the regulators' efforts, which includes coming up with a single unified QR payment code under Do It Now. Mobile banking has gone up from 200 billion ringgit to 460 billion ringgit. E-wallet has gone up by 131% just last year alone. Of course, these are trends that we do foresee that will sustain even long after the pandemic is over.
Vincent, how can banks address consumer fears regarding security, especially for those larger transactions?
Definitely one area that could see more effort is in the collaboration between banks and even the fintech players to educate users on how they can protect themselves and good security practices. I think security is the only area where banks aren't really competing with each other, because when one organization gets hit, trust in the entire industry goes down. So it'll definitely go a long way if all the players are more concerted in their efforts to educate and protect users. And this could probably be done through ABM, the Association of Banks Malaysia, and even the FinTech Association of Malaysia.
All right. Well, you mentioned, you know, UI and UX earlier. So what features do you think should be included on a bank's website or app, and why?
In terms of features that I would like to see introduced within the digital banking services space, it's quite a long wish list. Top among the list is the ability to have a single unified view of all my financials. But that is only possible through open banking, and I think we still have a long way to go for that in Malaysia. I think certainly the budgeting function could also be improved as well. Many of the banking apps have expense trackers, but they often do not provide good context or even visualization of what you spend and on how you can improve on your budgeting as well. The other area that I think could be improved, I think it could be more intuitive based on the data or based on your interactions with the app. I mean, for example, if you have recurring payments every month, the app should be able to prompt you to have the option of enabling direct debit. The list is, of course, endless, but the few things that I mentioned, I feel is a good start for banks to look into.
Mm-hmm. Vincent, do you think that the digitalization of banks is leaving the unbanked community further behind? And how can banks address this widening consumer gap?
I think the gap is definitely narrowing in Malaysia. Fortunately, we're blessed with relatively high internet penetration in this country. And, you know, the pandemic has definitely reduced the digital divide. You can see more and more businesses and even users adopting digital technologies. I'm sure that this is something you've observed with your parents as well, from learning how to Zoom out of necessity to using e-wallets for fear of germs and viruses. But of course, moving forward in this direction, we must always be conscious to serve those who prefer more conventional methods of financial services. One interesting thing that we've seen in other markets is this scenario where there are 4 to 5 banks rotating within the week in a shared space in the post office to provide branch banking services to underserved communities. I think that's certainly one interesting way to make it cost effective to provide services to these smaller communities.
That is interesting. Final question for you, Vincent. Has the pandemic forced banks to reconsider or speed up their adoption of digital strategies? And to what extent?
Yeah, for sure, definitely. I think over the course of 2020 and 2021, all the banks that we've spoken to have ramped up their digital transformation. And most of them have estimated that they have brought forward their digital plan by at least 3 to 5 years. And that includes enabling their own internal teams to work digitally and also enabling their customers to perform more and more banking activities online. Many of the media outlets and ourselves included have done countless articles exploring the impact of the pandemic on digital transformations on banks. And you can see consistently that there's huge spikes in digital adoption across the board and region as well. One of the interesting things that we've seen in one of the Filipino banks that we were talking to recently was to put sensors and IoT within the branch to check for temperature and to monitor social distancing as well. Definitely a lot of interesting things are happening in this space, even on the branch level as well. But it's important for banks to remember when looking at these kind of innovations and these kind of technologies to not just look at introducing new conveniences to the customers, but to also protect the employees and to also empower them to be safer and more productive as well.
Mm. Some big movements then happening.
Mm-hmm.
All interesting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We do have somebody else we're going to speak to, and he's waiting on the line right now, but we'll have to take a short break and come back to him in just a couple of minutes. Just to let you know, the question that we're asking is, what platform do you use the most for banking services and why? You can let us know via Twitter. We have a poll running over there. The options are app, website, in-person, or something else. Let us know what it is. Also get us via WhatsApp on 018-789-8899. Like Tsai Yao Yang has said, he says he uses both web and mobile banking if he can help it. And if you want to take part, again, 018-789-8899. We are going to take a short break. We'll be back and we'll be speaking with Ravi Kitane, the Director and Financial Services Technology Consulting Lead over at PwC Malaysia. That's coming up in just a moment. Take us into the break is David Bowie with Modern Love. And when we do come back, we'll have an update from Bursa at break, courtesy of our own banking genius, Arvind Ubaraj. This is Enterprise Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9.
Break from monotony. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. And for those of you only just joining us, welcome. I'm Rich Bradbury. I'm with...
I'm Vinny Raj.
And Christine Wong.
We've been talking about how the banks have been moving to digitalization. Financial institutions have accelerated adoption of their digital services over the course of the pandemic. We're talking about whether or not their strategies have been effective. Are the services consumer-friendly? What should come next? The question we're asking is, what platform do you use the most for banking services and why? Is it an app? Is it a website? Is it in person or is it something else? We'll get to some results in a few moments after we've had an update from Bursa at break, courtesy of Arv.
It is up by 0.39% at 1,596 points. Active stocks are Focus Dynamics, Balesto Energy and Vortex Consolidated. The ringgit is at 4.11 against the US dollar, 3.18 against the Aussie dollar and 3.08 against the Sing dollar.
Here we go. Chris, over to you.
Hi. Yep. So we have at the moment on the line with us another expert to share their thoughts. This is Ravi Kitane, Director and Financial Services Technology Consulting Lead at PwC Malaysia. So thank you very much for staying on the line with us today. So in your opinion, Ravi, do you think that banks are digitalizing fast enough?
Banks are digitalizing as fast as they can. This is driven by customer demand, a regulatory environment that is relaxing a little bit, and an availability of new technologies that are truly disruptive. However, they are hampered by legacy systems, a rigid culture, and antiquated processes. To overcome this, there are several approaches banks are taking. I can talk about three. The first one is to partner with fintechs, telcos, and other partners to establish a challenge bank. The second is to establish a new bank within a bank, something that's done within your own banking environment, but with a separate identity, a separate system, and a separate management structure. And the third is to simply digitalize your own processes. All the three approaches are viable. It really depends on what the bank wants to achieve.
Mm-hmm. And what are the most common banking services that are done digitally?
Banks have been digitalizing their processes and services for a number of years. You can go as far back as the implementation of the first computerized ledgers. However, in the last few years, the focus has been on digitalizing the front-end experience with processes such as customer onboarding, customer service, loan processing, and trading. A key gap is the lack of end-to-end focus, what I call as front-to-back digitalization, where instead of taking a process, you take an entire customer journey and digitalize the whole experience. This drives first-class customer experience while at the same time delivers straight-through processing and efficiency. I do believe that in the long term, that pretty much every process in a bank will either be digital or digitally enabled.
So then, Ravi, how can banks address security concerns in the digital space?
Customers are rightfully very concerned about security. In a recent survey that PwC conducted on digital trust, 70% of the respondents here in Malaysia say that they will adjust their cybersecurity strategy in the light of COVID and also to consider cybersecurity in every decision they make. While banks consider enhancing their strategy, talent is a key concern, and there are very few good people who can work on cybersecurity. Banks and regulators are especially concerned about this. As a former bank executive, I can vouch for the fact that there is an unprecedented number and levels of attack that we are seeing from various actors across the world. Banks cannot rely on defense alone anymore. To ward off these potential threats, they need to have a strong defense and combine it with a strong offensive strategy to catch the bad actors in their tracks. This is going to be a huge challenge.
Right. So, Ravi, can you tell us, what do you think are the most important elements for a bank's digital landing page and why?
The bank's digital landing page is probably the most important thing the bank has in terms of digital. In many cases, the landing page is essentially your most important, if not the only window that a customer will have to the bank. There are four things that you need to get right in a good landing page. Number one, it needs to be very simple and intuitive. The interface needs to be clean and well understood by the customer. Second, the language that is used should be clear and focused on action. Example could be make a payment, open an account, language that is very well understood by any client. Number three, it needs to be hyper-personalized and should reflect the character of the bank. This is your opportunity to brand the bank. There's certain non-negotiable features that needs to be there, a personalized greeting, an account overview, a next best action, personal financial management, are some examples that needs to be on a digital bank landing page.
And Ravi, how can banks address the unbanked community in their digitalization efforts? Do you think they're being left behind?
I do think that digitalization actually can achieve the opposite of not leaving anybody behind, but in fact, driving financial inclusion. There are several examples around the world. If you think about My Bank in China, which has reduced the cost of lending to such an extent, it's a fraction of what a traditional bank would do, that they can actually provide these services at a lower cost to many, many people. Digitalization, and that too, front-to-back digitalization, can actually be a game changer to offer access to financial services at a lower cost. The recent digital bank guideline from Bank Negara is essentially designed to achieve this. The challenge is now for banks to use this disruptive technologies, whether it is big data, AI, blockchain, to lower its cost and to drive financial inclusion.
Okay, final question for you, Ravi. How has the pandemic impacted the adoption of digital strategies for the banking industry?
Digital transformation has been happening for a number of years. I think that the COVID pandemic and its aftermath has only accelerated it. As Satya Nadella, the CEO of Microsoft, said, 2 years' worth of digital transformation was achieved just in 2 months. That was a year ago. I think that it has accelerated further. Things that were once considered unthinkable have become reality. For banks that have long been held back by regulation and some outdated technology, this is truly a wake-up call. Banks across the world are stepping up their capabilities and deploying new ones. The other key trend to think about is the emergence of fintechs and the impact that they are making. Just as an example, Kakao Bank in Korea reached 3 million customers in just 1 month of operations. That's the kind of impact these new players can make. So whether you're an incumbent or whether you're a new bank, they have to move rapidly and achieve digitalization at scale.
Great stuff. Thank you. That was Ravi Kitani, the Director and Financial Services Technology Consulting Lead over at PwC Malaysia. Of course, we're asking you, what platform do you use the most for banking services and why? We have a poll running over on Twitter and the same question over on Instagram. And of course, we're asking you over on WhatsApp as well, 018-789-8899. Chris, do we have anything over on Instagram?
Yes, we do. So we have Ajuman who says that they use apps because it's easy to access whenever and wherever you remember to perform any transaction as well.
Mm-hmm. Of?
We have a new tweet from Salman who says that app mostly because of biometric login and QR payment. Mm.
Something over on WhatsApp as well from Eugene who says the app mostly, but I fall back to the website whenever there's a computer available. It's because apps can be more user-friendly, big room for improvement, and not all bank apps are as efficient as others. Some load too slow, some crash, some are just confusing to use, some do not look too secure based on their history of being hacked easily. Mm-hmm. That's your thoughts. Send us more. We'll be back after this song from Muse with Plugin Baby here on Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.